You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise! Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about the things we don't want to talk about. Why do we have to talk about white supremacy at soccer games? It's the worst. This is a comedy show. Also, we talk about MLS is back. I'll cover a bunch of the games. More snow. There's so much snow at games. And we talk about pregnant soccer players.
Yeah, what a segue to segment number two. We have on three of the funniest people on Instagram doing soccer content. We got Soccer Girl Probs. They're coming in studio with us. We're going to have a great chat with them. We're going to talk about some 13-year-old that just went out and got a bag. First female soccer player to get signed at such a young age. And we're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff that they go through. That and more on this episode of The Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
That sounded like a verified yell.
Yeah.
That was a little different.
That's that blue check. The blue check confidence you get, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Some people need a blue pill. We need a blue check.
We don't need no blue pill. We're Latino. It'll work forever.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
That's right.
Hello.
We're back. We're back in Hackensack Marine Health Stage 17.
That's right. We are here. We didn't get to really... The last episode that we did after the first round of the CCL games, we recorded those from home. Some people don't know. We record those from home. You're home. I'm home.
We're home.
We're home.
When we record each other, we sing it together, and it sounds like we're within touching distance, which is how we like to be.
Yeah, we want to touch each other as we record the podcast.
It happens, folks. sound like Alex Jones or Happen, folks. They're out there.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of, what did he say on Joe Rogan? Oh, I'm kind of retarded, right?
Yeah. We didn't say it.
We didn't say it.
He said it.
And you know what? We kind of agree with him.
Yeah. I think even people who are offended by that word, like, nah, that was a good use.
That makes sense.
I'm offended by the kinda.
Anyway, welcome to the Cooligans podcast. We are your favorite stand-up comedians. That host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened
to. 100%
It's 100% that, and it's verified. So not even Twitter's confirming it.
Yeah, Twitter's like, yo, can't deny them. They're the best.
But we're not also the most verified. Funny podcast that there is. We're also what, Alexis?
And why we got verified is because we happen to be the gulliest soccer podcast.
That's very much the case. Twitter was just Jack himself was just like, hey, you know what?
I can't.
I'm actually doing an injustice.
Yeah,
in
fact, you're the over gully if I don't do this. And might I add, we have requested that verification previously.
Yeah.
Right. And we didn't get it.
Politely.
And they were like, nah, son.
And that was the problem. We were asking too nicely.
Yeah. Also, I don't think we were really asking Twitter because we got a response that said, nah, son. But eventually, the Twitter gods, instead of banning people for hate speech, decided to verify us. Where are we on your priority list, man?
So, like always, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Yes, this is your favorite soccer podcast. Easily the funniest. But we're excited today because we have great guests on the show.
And speaking of Gully, we got an audience member from Gully Squad.
That's right.
Right. We got Ira Jersey.
Ira Jersey is in all here.
Right. Just laughing, having a good time. My man with the soccer suspenders on, right?
Okay. Crushing it. Okay. You know, I think that needs to be the prerequisite for anybody that comes and watches the show. You gotta be in like some soccer drip.
You gotta flare it up a little bit, right? You can't come in here not dripping.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone with soccer suspenders.
That's
a first. First, Ira gets that award.
That's now Ira's look. So you come in here now, we'll be like, yo, you can't just Ira up in here.
He is definitively screaming, I'm a soccer dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Soccer fan, respectfully. You
know? So thank you for joining us, Ira. It's
Listen to Gully Squad members. Yo, you want to come watch the show? You happen to be in New York. Maybe you're taking a trip out here. Maybe you live out here. Maybe you're not doing something on a Tuesday afternoon, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you could finagle out of work for a little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Come through.
Exactly.
We're up on Madison Square Garden.
You know, just tell your boss. I really need some gully in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, I think I'm coming down with a little. Glienza. I was trying to do flu, influenza, and gully together. It didn't work.
He's like, I feel like I don't know what that disease is.
You know what? Get out of here. Nobody else wants that.
So yes, we're excited to be back here, and we always start the show per usual with showing love to the people who show us love. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a couple it's getting harder and harder to pick them,
and it's also our standard is raised now that we're verified.
Yes,
like your review better be the
reviews,
on point.
The review's got to be verified as well.
You got to have a verified review. we're not gonna re-verify is how we're viewing it. Okay,
but I got to read this one, and so this one came from somebody we know very well.
Ooh,
Adam Snavely.
Yes. Okay.
So Adam Snavely is a writer for The Athletic. He was originally, I think he wrote for SB Nation, Stars and Stripes and stuff like that. Very, the dude knows men's national team and women's national team quite well.
Also, quite funny.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We
great
hung
dude.
Out with him.
Yeah, we hung out with him in Atlanta.
Kid's got chops.
Okay, so that's a good prerequisite for reviews.
Right.
You gotta have chops.
Hell yeah.
So the first, the subject of this review says, "Bring me on as a guest, you cowards."
That's the title. That is the title. That by the way, the... 5 stars.
5-star review. Okay, so this is coming in hot. Adam's coming out, and he says, "Not bad for Walmart generic brand Arsenal fan TV. The food takes are good though." Okay.
All right.
So a little roasting.
Also,
in these
I feel like he gets us. I don't know why.
Okay. You know, Walmart is actually a very big company. So this is not really, I don't know how much of an insult this really is. Okay. we've destroyed mom and pop shops. So if the Cooligans can become like Walmart, this is a good sign for our careers.
Yeah. It's not bad. there's a couple really funny ones, and I hope we get to these because Eberhard Creative is really funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to read by A-A-R-E, okay?
Okay.
A-A-R-E already sounds like Dominican teenagers arguing on a train going to the Bronx. But this is, the title is, by the way, it's 5 stars. The title is 10% soccer, 90% irrelevant crap, 100% gully.
Okay. Right?
So I got to be honest, this is good review to see if you don't know anything about
the
show.
You know what? The math checks out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, if I check the work, it's going to equal up correctly.
He showed his work. He didn't just give us an answer.
Yeah.
This is what he says. "I've been a Cooligans listener since season one." Okay. We got S1 with us.
Okay.
Right? "I've watched Christian and Alexis go from a couple of guys who know nothing about MLS to what they are today, which is a couple of guys who know very little about MLS." Thank you very much. The research has paid off. We do the hard work, okay? "That aside, they are two of the funniest people that exist. I bet I could listen to them talk about golf or curling or some other boring sport."
All right.
"So to listen to them talk about a sport in a league that I love is just amazing. Their enthusiasm will make you love MLS more and more with every episode. Keep up the gully, gentlemen. Y'all are going to rule US soccer one day."
All right. Well, AARE, we want to announce today, we are starting the new official Jousting podcast.
Hell yeah, okay? Son.
We're going to get to those deep takes about
Hell
jousting.
Yeah. Yo, you've always wanted to know everything about hurling? Well, you've come to the right source, folks.
Okay. All right.
The Cooligans is going hurling.
All right. It's going to be, we're starting an empire.
Yeah. Every sport that's not in the top four in the nation.
So thank you for the reviews. Always, we're at 399 reviews.
Ooh.
One left for Ira. Have you left a review? I think you have left
a
review.
Yeah, Ira did leave
a review. Yes, I do recall. Okay, so
I'm going to read one more review because it's real quick, and I just love these guys because they released that dope jersey that said just John on the front as the
sponsor. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Fishtown FC. Fishtown is a neighborhood in Philly, for those who don't know. They just put the title as, yo, shouts to us. put 5 stars. And then the review is shouts to us for leaving a 5-star review. Yeah. Someone gets shouts to us.
Okay. You are using it correctly.
That is exactly how it should be used. Your shouts to us for accepting your 5-star review.
So thank you. So we're 1 from 400. Let's go for 500. Yeah, who cares? You know, similar, like,
start making some fake emails and leaving reviews, guys.
We just did the auction this the benefit for Met Oval,
the oldest continuous soccer field in the nation.
That's right. It is in Queens, and it is if you don't know, just look. You can look up the history of Met Oval, but a lot of
big names have played there.
We know there. Pele has played there, a bunch of stuff like that.
But also, like, some of the kids that are playing for NYCFC now have come through that field.
That's right. Justin Hawk is one of them. But yeah, so it's an academy, and it's sort of like the main point for a lot of these academies. Like, if for the kids that can't afford it, they give an opportunity for them to play
soccer.
So that's what we did.
An auction, and we were there just hosting and roasting everybody, trying to get more money for these kids.
Hosting and roasting. And we learned.
And boasting. Shouts to us.
But people were. People really, especially during an auction, they love, there's something I feel like we can provide where we can roast people into
spending more money. We're bullying rich people, which is something I've always wanted to do. Okay, but we're bullying rich people into spending their money, into proving they're rich.
Okay, see, and now that we met Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it all makes sense. Yeah, right? we're really
forcing the hand.
We're working together.
This is the soccer green new deal, is what we're doing here, okay?
So we, and similar to these reviews, we have to, this is sort of what we have to guilt people, we have to bully them into.
It's the Alexis way.
It's the Alexis way. This way, where
you like, oh, you think you're not gonna do that? Okay, well, watch when I pull out the Cuban mom in me. Okay,
so help us get to 500 reviews, help us get to 400 reviews. You could be that 400th. Okay,
be the 400th.
So, let's start the show on we hate starting the show on the on. Let's start it on a positive note.
Okay, so, I wasn't sure what the negative note was.
The negative note is coming up in a second. Okay. But the positive note, congratulations and to you guys, and thank you for helping the Total Soccer Show for Daryl Groves GoFundMe. Finally,
shouts to you.
Shouts to you. Reach the goal. And if you guys want to donate more, please feel free to do that because
keep it going.
The costs don't stop there, and Daryl's fighting and doing everything he can, and.
I believe that he's mentioned on the show that he started treatment. So,
yeah,
like, this is now where sort of just the travel back and forth and staying over for his wife and all these things are going to start to add up. And look, everybody's given so much. If you didn't share it. Let more people know. Maybe they could raise what the goal is for that, so he can get some more. Because this is the money that's going to stabilize him for a very, very long fight.
Exactly.
This is not just a couple of weeks. This isn't a short trip. This is a very long, sometimes even lifelong fight. So if there's anything that you guys can do that you haven't already done, please do that. A lot of you guys gave. If you didn't share it, or if it's been a while since you shared it, just share it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep pushing it. He's one of our closest friends. He's one of our favorite people in this business, and we're not going to hold against him that he's English. You know what I mean? We're gonna,
even though it's a really big flaw.
Yeah, honestly. And I kind of think it's his fault. Like, I know he had no control over it, but we want him to be around for a long, long time, and he will, because he's gonna fight. So we're gonna help as much as we can.
Exactly. All right. So now on to the negative news. So let's talk about obviously what is sort of been in the soccer Twitter sphere. And
is this from Orlando? Are we starting with another Orlando thing?
No, this is not Orlando at all. This is what negative?
I thought you were talking about the Sydney thing.
Oh, no. Yeah, we'll. Why is that negative?
Because of the reaction.
Oh, the right. Okay, cool. I'm like, does Alexis hate pregnant women? Okay. Yeah.
Of course. Not at all.
So, no, the comments from, first of all, the article that came out Huffington Post about the some of the fans in the NYCFC section that, you know, that most people are not very happy with. And also the response from Don Garber and the response from the Independent Supporters Council.
And response from the general Twitter sphere.
So if you don't know what's going on, if you didn't see this article, the Huffington Post wrote a piece about sort of what we talked about.
Right. White nationalists, white supremacists.
Yes.
Going to NYCFC games. I think it's more of a recap of a lot of the information that's already available out there. But if you haven't been paying attention, or maybe you didn't know about it, for you, this is maybe shocking information. But I think the gist is everyone's been banned. That doesn't mean their presence hasn't been still felt. And it doesn't mean that they've been that it's there's a general course of action for when someone who took part in Charlottesville all of a sudden shows up to your soccer game, which it's unfortunate that it's happening in NYCFC, but this could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
So what do we do moving forward when something like this happens? My hope is that they're not allowed.
Yes. So, okay. So let's, as they say on, you know, a lot of NPR shows, let's unpack this. But first, let's talk about the reaction to the article, because we talked about this on the show, because this was an issue, right?
When it first, and also people ask us, like, we have any control over anything. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, hey, Gorgas, what are you going to do about this? I don't know. Jokes, maybe?
But
hope not.
But we did talk about it. So this sort of was like last season on MLS,
yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
That's how it's sort of. So a lot of people were upset with this, especially NYCFC fans and certain supporters groups, because
good.
They were upset at the characterization that this was that everyone wasn't on the same page as far as like not being okay with this. Right.
Yeah.
So the difficulty here is that some people felt like this might cause more strife or more anger amongst the fans when they feel like when some of the supporters feel like some of this stuff has been at least somewhat handled. Right. So I don't want to say it's been exaggerated.
I don't know what you mean.
So like these people were banned, right? The people
yes.
that, but for some reason, either some of them still get into the stadium. Right. Or there are
they're hanging out at
a weekend.
They're at the bars right outside the stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they're like an ever present sort of aura.
They're not necessarily.
It's like four people we're talking about. Five, I think, max.
Yeah. And they're not necessarily doing anything at the games that is racist or whatever.
No.
But it still doesn't make it OK that there's clearly footage of you doing crimes.
Yeah.
Right. And in Charlottesville.
Right.
So it's like, at the very least, I don't know, because we've seen this. I've seen this with my own eyes.
Right.
Where other NYCFC fans have gotten in the faces of these people.
Right.
And been like, yo, we don't want you here.
You're not
welcome here.
Yeah.
Which, shouts to you.
That's exactly what we should all be doing.
It should be a difficult experience for white supremacists, Nazis, whatever, to just hang out at soccer games with you. Right.
Yeah.
So I've seen that. But the response has always been, from to my knowledge, that they can't, like, security, either NYPD,
there's tons NYCFC, of NYPD.
NYCFC, the Yankee
Stadium, Securitas.
They can't do anything if this particular person is not displaying some sort of racist behavior or doing something.
Or, you know, there's something I learned from the article was that there's been questions as to whether one of or a few of these people have been intimidating. Some of the people have been vocal about them not being there, like standing next to them or turning around and just staring at them during the game, letting them know, you know, in a certain way that they're not happy with them. But that's not illegal either.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a bit of cleverness here as to like, well, you can't kick someone out that's not doing anything. But I do think there is some precedent set to say, MLS is a league that its own code of conduct, and Don Garber was actually wrong. Code of conduct is not just during the 90 minutes or within the stadium.
Exactly.
It's based on who you are outside. There should be something that says like, yo, if you don't stand with the, you know, MLS says everyone should be allowed regardless of your race, creed, religion, sexuality, all that. If you don't stand with that, then maybe you shouldn't be at the games. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed. Or if you're vehemently against that, you shouldn't be allowed at the game. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
So if what you prophesize, even outside of the stadium, is that you're not cool with Jews, then maybe you shouldn't be allowed in a stadium that is trying to be all inclusive. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. But how? But it's one of those things of like, well, is this person going to freely admit this and be like, oh, okay, I'm not allowed there?
Well, get it on record that they're not admitting it. They're like, no, I'm cool with Jews. And then show that to their friends. Tag them on Instagram. It'll upset their friends. Here's my thing. And I've said this. I said this on the pod. We did Filibuster Podcast, which is a DC United podcast. And here's what I said. One question survey. Society scale from 0 to 10. 0 is like, I hate them. 10 is like, I love them with all my life. How you feel about Jews? Just ask that of everyone that walks in the stadium. Anyone who answers 8 or below, you're not allowed in. Okay? That's it. It's simple.
Okay. Yeah, very simple in your mind. Just like having men's national team players play FIFA, and you're going to get all the information you need.
Pure genius. I've not heard from anyone that thinks it's a bad idea. Mainly because I blocked. No, I'm joking. Everyone thought it was genius.
look, we can sort of say what we said before, where it's like we understand that it's a complicated situation, but from an ethical and moral perspective,
but hold on,
it shouldn't be.
Let's be a bit more open. It's complicated in the sense of what do you do when they're there? It's not complicated for us to say we don't want to stand next to someone who's a Nazi. We don't want to side with someone who's a Nazi. We don't agree with someone who's a Nazi. We don't want to hold hands. We don't want to support the same things as someone who's a Nazi. That's it. That's not complicated to say.
That's not, and that's yeah.
What's complicated is when someone shows up and they're not acting all Nazi-like.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So that, I think, was the issue that people, Don Garber did, he was asked a question, I believe, at Audi Field after the game, Atlanta and DC United, because he was there. I believe Jonathan Tannenwald from
at goalkeeper,
and did ask this question about the known white supremacists, and he didn't answer, being like, "Yo, I hate Nazis. All Nazis are bad, right?" Nah. And people were like,
"He also didn't go with the good people on both sides. He didn't go that far. But he was a little bit in the middle there.
But he didn't really kind of even go on message with what with the code of conduct that we were talking about, right?
No, he did say code of conduct, but he was wrong.
He was wrong. Yeah, yeah.
So I think the code of conduct has changed, but it's also there's this like question as to, well, everyone has to be all inclusive and no political speech is allowed. But what if your political speech is also inclusive? Like when someone hung an anti-fascist sign, fascists are people we've had wars against.
Yeah.
Those are people we've stopped from being fascist in their own country. So being anti-fascist, to me, I don't see that as a bad thing. I can't see how that's...
I
don't see why that's something you should
take
down.
It's like saying anti-Nazi is a political stance that is divisive. You know what I mean?
How could you be? I mean, next time, maybe the Nazi will be like, I'm anti-whatever you are. No. Here's what we do. Not have Nazis around.
So
it's insane that it's 2019, and we have to talk about what to do with Nazis. You know, can we just send them all to Argentina? It's what they did last year.
Yeah. Okay, this has been the history lesson. Yeah. What the cool again? Yeah.
Remember, they all sent their families and the money and the gold they stole.
Argentina, you deal with it.
Yeah, come on, Argentina. They're like sitting there, open arms. Argentina loves it.
and there were responses. The Independent Supporters Council also put out a
beautiful
a statement as well. And I think so. This was this after the MLS put out that statement about all of this. It's like clarifying, like, not every if something is just positive, right? And about human rights, there's a risk of it being banned as political speech or a political banner or whatever. Right. So things like that are it's all sort of like this weird slippery slope, right? Where we shouldn't be slipping is Nazis are bad. And we don't want them around. And especially when there is, and there's a difference between just accusing people of an ideology that you don't agree with, and there's on the other side of seeing them behave living this ideology, right? So once it gets to that point, then I feel like we're all on the side of good or on the side of just on what's correct and what's right.
Right. I hate to say the term, but we are, you know, you want to be on the right side of history on something like this.
Yeah.
One of the things that Don Garber said was the last thing this league is going to do is start getting into profiling who people are and what their backgrounds are. That is a slippery slope that we're not going to engage in. And look, I understand why legally that's probably a statement he was asked to say or read, right? Because you can't discriminate against someone who openly discriminates. It's so confusing. I get the idea of it from a commissioner standpoint, but your fans are telling you that's not enough.
Yeah.
And as a league and as a team, you want to hear more, even if you're just saying, look, there's nothing we can do, but we want them to know they're not welcome. That's a statement that I'd be willing to accept.
Yeah.
You know, something that lets you know, like, hey, we're not cool with that.
It can't just be constantly, like, we got to protect the bag, right? At all times.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I ain't trying to get sued, though. Like, you got to
take a stand at some point. And who knows? I mean, I don't know what the context or the situation that he was in. Maybe he didn't know what to say or how to handle. Maybe he didn't read the article. Like,
yeah.
Who knows? But in general, no one's necessarily saying like, yo, Don is all about the money and he's supporting these people. That's not the case, but it's just like, we can't waffle in this situation.
Right. This is not, you can't be on a fence here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Nazis and no Nazis. I think it's a simple answer.
So hopefully this stuff kind of gets clarified, but it's so incredible. Like the NYCFC, Brad Sims had a response and everybody has like a take on, and
it's what's the dude's name, that Sean King, when he tweeted it out, that seemed to be the most, yeah, eyes it's gone on it, and no one's compiled all the information together like Huffington Post did. And you know, we have a group chat where I was like, hey, this is gonna blow up from here, and some of the other guys in the group chat are like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about, like, this is nothing, this is no new information. And I'm like, but this is way more eyes seeing it. And I think now maybe that sort of forces the hand for something to be done.
And
you know, I don't want anyone to be hurt, and I don't want anyone to be, you know, told that, you know, they can't go do something. But if you're telling someone that they're bad because of something they didn't choose to be, then maybe you shouldn't be around people who might be that. Maybe you make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Get out. You know?
Okay. Well, yeah. Hopefully this stuff gets sorted out as soon as possible. But I did like,
there's not like a ska band you guys can go support or something. Some punk band with no musical talent.
Got another hobby. That's all I'm saying.
Come on. Maybe a barbershop that has nothing but razors. You know, I don't know. There's not something else for you.
But at the very least, I did like that the article did not just, and we get all the jokes and it's totally fine. Like we make jokes about NYCFC all the time, but like the club in itself and the fans themselves are not supportive of this behavior. NYC 12 put out a great, they just put
hat?
Out, no. they put out a great just statement, and it was just, it was, I let me find it actually, because it's super funny, but they just really condemned the fact that their photo was used in the article and kind of placed them in the suggesting that they were okay with this behavior. And I think and the article in itself, the words themselves didn't really do that, but you can understand why other fans would be like, oh yo, NYCFC fans, they're cool with this shit. And it's like, that it's not the case at all.
Right.
Like there's definitely people who disagree on how it should be handled, but nobody's like, we're cool with it. And I'll just read the last sentence of it, because they completely condemn the fact that they're being associated with anything, you know, with these dudes. And it says about the photo. It says the photo used insult not only NYC 12 members, but also all NYCFC fans and New York citizens who continue to take a stand against injustice. And then it ends with, quote, fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's right, man.
You're
that's
too gully.
That's how you keep it real, man. It's just, look, it's difficult, complicated, but people are trying to do everything they can to handle it. It's not just like nobody's condoning any of this behavior.
Also,
so
how can you be anti-Semitic in New York,
bro?
God, that must be exhausting.
You must you must not love bagels, bro.
I know, damn. Imagine just being like, no, I can't have that pastrami. I'm upset right now.
You know what, not a life I want to lead.
No,
I'll be honest.
You don't want that corned beef, my guy. Damn,
missing out.
What kind of hot dog is that? Is that a Hebrew National? Because I cannot and I will not. Could you imagine, bro?
I love how Alexis's view of all this is all food based.
You brought up bagels first. I was riffing.
You had like 8 examples, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I could take it a little further if you want. Gefilte fish? No, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, okay. So let's talk about a couple other things. This also MLS related. An interesting thing. I saw this posted in the Sports Business Daily, which I subscribe to. I get it.
Big fan.
Every Sunday, it shows up right on my doorstep.
Ooh, pink website.
No, but apparently MLS has instructed all of its clubs to not have any local broadcast deals beyond 2022.
Yeah.
So this...
So they're going to put everything together? I'm assuming this means it's going to go streaming.
That's what it sort of sounds like. I don't know what national deal they're going to have that will, I guess maybe like an NBC Sports Gold kind of thing.
Dog, MLS on Netflix. Let's get
it. Wow. Okay. Right? Let's see.
Move over, British shows.
Great British Bake Off.
Yeah. You know? We don't care. Nobody wins on that show. Did y'all know that? There's no prize.
MLS got a prize, got like two of them.
You know what? Speaking of Netflix, the latest season of Club de Cuervos is on, Club of Crows. If you haven't seen this show, I talk about it a little bit. It is.
I tried to watch.
It is the best. This fourth season of this show is unbelievably hilarious. It's so funny. It's basically 30 Rock if it was about a Liga MX team. So watch this show. If it's in Spanish, you can put subtitles, whatever. So funny. This All fourth right, season watch is unbelievable. It's
I'm
so
never
good.
Gonna watch it, but I gotta watch it.
It's so good. So
Tim put kosher pizza ? I haven't had a good one yet, so I'm not gonna co-sign that, Tim.
What makes up a kosher pizza exactly?
You use all kosher products.
Okay, so kosher products are just things that have been blessed by a rabbi, right?
Yeah, or like, you know, you won't have sausage on there, you won't have pepperoni, okay, meat and cheese.
So it doesn't sound like that it's that much of a risk.
Once again, I haven't had a good one. There was one on the Upper West Side I live near, tried it, it's trash. I hate saying it. Hell, Tim says he's not co-signing it either. All right, Tim.
Put into question because there are some, like DC United has a weird, they have like Flow Sports, that's their local broadcaster. So then whenever that happens, people are like, what do I got to buy? Some people are like, I don't even know how to get this thing that you are selling me.
This has been my biggest argument about soccer as a whole is understanding what channel it's on is the most frustrating things. And you could even go to like Live Soccer TV, they have an app or the website, livesoccertv.com. And sometimes I don't know what country they're in. They're just like, it's on Gold TV. And I'm like, nobody got Gold TV, dog. It's on NBC here. You know, I don't know. It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Just put it all on my phone, guys. And then I'll hit a button and it goes on my TV. Is that so hard? Flow Sports, nobody has.
Yeah, the thing is,
you know, Flow Sports is an app or a website. Nobody knows. And guess what? Nobody trusts you. Nobody wants to give you the real password. They're all using that email they stopped using in college.
I thought it was an app to track your menstrual cycle.
Yeah. I thought Flo Rida was getting into the TV rights game.
So that's what I would use it for. Yeah. It seems like the branding is off.
So dumb.
So
Bleacher Report. Who knew that was on TNT? Nobody. I'm like, I got to go to a blog to watch a game now.
It is. Even with with CCL games, that it becomes even an extra layer of complication.
It's so frustrating.
And now even the fact that it is on Yahoo, I feel like that isn't even on Yahoo. Like it's like difficult to find it.
Yahoo's app is complete bedlam. You just have, I pressed down out of frustration 100 times and all of a sudden it said live sports. That's how I found
it's so weird.
CCL games.
They categorize it like it's a highlight from a game in Ecuador.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they put it in the middle of just like news and then it's like, oh, there's a live soccer game going
trash
on.
App.
It's a little frustrating. It would be nicer if they just like at least created another page for like CCL or
here's
something.
Here's what I'm saying. FIFA, buy soccer.com and football.com and football.com. Millions of dollars each. Throw all the games on there and let just go nuts with the sponsorships. That's it. How hard is that?
Well, people pay for broadcast rights, so they want
exclusive. I don't know.
They want exclusive.
Get the money from FIFA. They got a lot of it. They're hiding. Okay.
Okay. Show us those tax returns, FIFA.
Come on now. We'll extradite y'all motherfuckers again.
That's what we do on this podcast. We threaten FIFA executives. So a couple other things. Let's talk about that. I want to bring it up with the ladies from Soccer Girl Probs again, but
They're going to be our second segment
on the show. But before we get to that, we have to mention our sponsor today. They are back. SeatGeek,
baby,
is back from sponsoring the Cooligan segment.
You can't stay away from us for long.
You took a break because you know it gets the Cooligans get exhausting. I understand. I mean specifically Alexis. We all get that. But shout out to the SeatGeek. Make sure you download the SeatGeek app and you can use the promo code Cooligans and you can get $20 off your first purchase. So
your first purchase. So you know you're going to your first MLS game
or CCL. These CCL games that. They're
CCL.
Happening. The Rebels are playing tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday against Santos Laguna.
So maybe that's the first time you're using SeatGeek to get a ticket. You're going to get $20 off just for saying Cooligans.
sneeze there.
Don't put the sneeze in the promo code.
Oh,
we
no,
don't
do
that.
Not put the sneeze. Just put Cooligans, and guess what? Someone's going to show up at the game and hand you $20.
and a napkin.
I don't know what the hell's going on with me. I haven't sneezed in years.
Do ad reads make you give you allergies?
Just thinking of me losing money. I was thought that for a second, wait, do I got to give people $20? No. SeatGeek is going to give you $20. You put in Cooligans, you get $20 off your first order, use it. It helps the Cooligans, and you save money. Come on.
That's right. So let's talk about Sydney LaRue, because she posted a photo that got people up in arms.
It's ridiculous.
And this is, you know what's interesting? That people get, like, it's like, the pictures like these get people so, like, divided and confused.
For zero reason. Zero reason.
Like, there's just, like, nothing wrong with any of this, right? So,
you know how many, like, are these, like, Instagram workout people post videos of themselves at a gym when they're pregnant or only a few weeks pregnant? Nobody says anything.
Exactly.
They're like, yes, queen, you look amazing. Sydney LaRue posts it, and everyone's like, well, all of a sudden, I'm a damn gynecologist.
I got so many opinions. Yeah.
How could you? Run.
How dare you walk out of the house? Why? It's just like, even like other women might be like, why isn't she barefoot and pregnant at home?
Dom, carry her around in a pillow, Dom. What is wrong with people?
It's so strange. Like, just like anything that it seems like out of the norm or just, or like even kind of like cool or different makes people just like so uncomfortable.
You want to know what women have to go through? Okay. If I, with the same body shape as Sydney LaRue posted a photo of me running, I would get a lot of support. Okay.
The double standard is ridiculous.
You treat women this way.
You know what? Or at the very least, also treat Alexis that way.
Yeah,
all right?
I know.
Be consistent.
Right? Tell me to stop running. I'll appreciate it. Because the truth is, ain't nobody got a photo of me running.
Okay, we're going to have to take a video of Alexis walking and fast forward it very quickly.
Why is everyone running around so much faster than Alexis? Man, he's eating that sandwich so fast.
But she posted a photo of her working out.
She's not like she's training. Lifting. She's not lifting like 1,000 pounds. She's not two-footing someone.
She's literally,
no one's kicking her in the stomach. She is literally in a jogging motion. And or one of them is her standing.
Yeah.
And people are like, how dare you be outside the sun?
You're wearing your jersey while pregnant?
You know they're tight. That baby's going to asphyxiate. Dumbasses.
What a ridiculous thing. So obviously, if you look at her tweet, the comments below, were just like really dumb.
A lot of them are supportive.
A lot of them are. The majority
are just ridiculous.
But the internet's gonna internet, right? So this is interesting because when I saw this photo, it actually reminded me of my cousin. So I have a cousin. Her name is Annabelle, and she came out to the show in Virginia. I think you met her.
Yes, I did.
So my cousin Annabelle, she played college basketball, and she also played for the Dominican national team in basketball. She's the Al Horford of our family. You know what I mean? So she
is very fit.
She's very fit. Yeah. And she that's not the same cousin.
No, you have
but that's her sister. That's her sister.
But you have another one who's like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I have another cousin who's like
what happened to you? You got nothing. You can't even grow a beard, my guy.
I tell jokes, you know, a little bit.
So, damn.
My other cousin, she did fitness competition. She's not like buff, like, but
she's cut.
She's just ripped beyond belief.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's one of those people that glisten. You know what I mean? They do that thing where they always shake the leg, and then all of a sudden it's just, they tighten it up and it's just huge.
Just, she's just covered in bronzer everywhere she goes. She looks great. So, but my cousin Annabelle, she played basketball, and she's great at basketball. She beat me. I remember when we were kids, she was just always like embarrassed me playing basketball. She was really good. And
probably what made you great at basketball, because you're very good.
Okay.
There was no joke. Well, thanks, everyone was waiting. You heard the silence?
So we have people here, and I just like, I looked at everyone. I'm like, this doesn't happen. He does not compliment
me
ever.
This is as much a unicorn as him running.
That's why the show stops. It comes screeching halt when something nice is said.
It's hard for me to get to that point, but it comes out every once in a while. I have a headache now from doing that.
But Annabelle, I remember about 4 or 5 years ago when she was pregnant. She has a gorgeous baby girl, and she was pregnant and playing basketball. And she sent me this video of her playing basketball. She was like in Miami or something, and she was playing basketball in her swimsuit. So she was just like, and she was like, She was like 7 months, big belly, but yeah. She was like still crossing dudes
yeah,
up.
Exactly.
And like,
bah, bah.
Ah. So it was just like the best thing ever. And it made me, as soon as I saw him, like, yo, Annabelle, you're the goddamn G. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
come on, how dare you? Yeah.
The baby's fine. The baby's going to cross you up too. All
yeah.
right?
What are you listening to? Is you still like classical music when you're pregnant? This kid's out here learning how to juke dudes. He's going to pull a sham god. She's sham godding people by the time she's five.
So sitting in the room, complete support. More of these.
Also, how many times have these guys ran around with a soccer ball in their stomach? No one tells them to sit down. It's incredible. Ridiculous.
Absurd. So, just a ridiculous behavior from people. So, next up, we should... How about this? Because we talked about Toronto on the last episode. We talked about their, obviously...
Ooh, they got a new player, right?
They do got a new player. They signed Alejandro...
Pozuelo
from
Ghent.
From Ghent. So he's Spanish. Wait, did he play for the national? I feel like I've seen this name. I haven't really.
He played for Swansea while.
Okay.
He also played for Real Betis and Rayo Vallecano. Shouts to the hood team in Madrid.
Okay.
That's who they are. They're hood as hell.
Really?
Yeah, they're from the hood, though. They're like, they're the Nork. They're like Bronx United. You know what I mean? Like, that's Rayo Vallecano. Like, Real Madrid would be like Midtown FC, okay. Right? And you got like Atletico Madrid would be like Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Rayo Vallecano's like Gun Hill Road FC. It's in the name.
Okay, I didn't know that about them. All right, cool. Are they in the first division?
No, they've gone up and
they
down.
They go up and down,
yes,
right?
I believe they're in Liga B.
Okay.
But so, they paid the money for an old lady who was getting kicked out of her apartment because like gentrification and stuff. Like, they're really dope. Radio Vallecano is cool.
They paid for her to get kicked out.
Yeah, man. Look, what you know I'm all about, right? Slumlord FC. No, they paid for her rent so she wouldn't get kicked out. They like surrounded the apartment like they were cool. They like they supported her. So an older lady who was like a staple in the community
kicked
out of her apartment.
All right, that's exciting. All right, yeah. So apparently with I don't know if they Toronto. I think Toronto's going to pay Alejandro Pozuelo's rent as well.
Yeah.
To really help him out.
Certainly.
But he is apparently Toronto's paying a $10 million transfer fee.
I think it's the fourth largest in the history of the league.
So this is like kind of wild, right? Because in general, I mean, Toronto was when they got into the league, how terrible of a team there were they, but now it seems like
crowd, terrible
this
team.
This trend after after Zico Barco, after even Alexandru Mitrița, and like we're starting to see like it's
people
getting competitive
a little bit
with amongst the owners where we're like, oh wait, now we have to they never wanted to pay that transfer fee. They were willing to pay a high salary,
right? But they always were like, we'll get them on a free, we'll get them when they're done.
Exactly.
Maybe the team is upset with them and they'll pay some of that. Nah, now they're like, no, we got money.
Yeah,
we good.
I like seeing this.
But apparently he's the best player in, I believe he's in the Belgian league. Gent's in the Belgian league. He's the best player in the Belgian league.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that means. We have two. This is now two players that
are. Is that a high standard?
I don't know.
Belgian league? I don't know. I don't
watch
it. They
are. I mean, they're not low. It's a good league. But
yeah. Ghent is a big club.
But that's like, you know, like if I'm, you know, the skinniest guy at the deli, that doesn't mean a lot. You know what I mean? Like, does it mean much? You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I, the best player in the Belgian league or maybe a middle of the road player in La Liga, which one do you want?
Okay.
But apparently they've been watching him for a while. So.
All right. But it's just after the disastrous start that they had.
Yeah, because Terrence Boyd ain't it, Chief.
But after that disastrous start, that just seeing the fact that they were willing to spend that kind of money. I mean, this is like Almirón money. This is this is something to get excited about, especially with a team that, especially in that first game in the CCL, got embarrassed by a Panamanian team.
Yeah, but they did body Philly this weekend, though.
They did. So let's talk about some of the games real quick.
Real quick.
Because they were incredibly entertaining. MLS is back.
That's it. That's fantasy is here.
So
we're now getting more sponsors. Beautiful thing.
It's all working out for all of us.
Yeah.
Philly did play against Toronto.
Body 3-1.
3-1. And but really the brace
Oh, you were going to talk about the Braves. I'm talking about Fabian with the elbow to Bradley.
I thought, well, I'm
a, that little battle is kind of dope, actually.
Yeah.
Like a little USMNT versus Edri.
Yeah.
I like it.
You think anything was said as far as like, you know, yeah, but yeah, I missed the World Cup, though.
Yeah.
You know, we were there.
Well, I think Fabian elbowed him twice. He was like, that's that new Dos Acero right there. But, yo, Bradley didn't hold him.
Bradley gave him that shoulder check.
Yeah. Dude, took him out. By the way, if you watch it closely, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding, Fabian's going for another elbow. As he's coming at him, he's bringing the elbow up. It just so happens that Bradley dips in real quick.
Yeah.
Sends him flying.
Yeah, you know, I think the frustration of being booed for like pretty much a year.
That's a whole new Michael Bradley.
It's a new Michael Bradley.
Yeah. He's like, just at home doing push-ups, jail stuff.
Because he scored 2 goals.
Yeah, dude, he bodied.
He hasn't scored in 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, for in MLS, he scored in for the he had that goal against Mexico.
Yeah,
but holy smokes!
Yeah, and now they're bringing in Pozuelo, and they look really good. They look good in MLS. They look as good in MLS as bad as they looked in CCL.
Great.
So,
all right, great take, Alexis. That's very.
That's why you come here.
But the 2 goals that he did score. If you watch the game and you watch specifically his goals, I don't know, because we were sort of, especially with Fabian going to Philly, they lost CJ Sapong. He went to Chicago.
Yeah, but it's their central midfield was terrible.
But Harris Madunian, who's a pretty good player. I remember him being pretty good. I would have him on my fantasy team, and he would be pretty reliable.
Not in the position he's being played now.
He is playing. He's like, whatever. I don't know what. I think they told him to play, like, Jim Curtin told him to play defensive mid, and he's like, I ain't in the mood today, right? Because
how about we don't defend? Maybe we'll be so bad, we'll be good.
For both Bradley goals,
he was nowhere.
He was nowhere.
He's not even in the camera shot.
But he's watching.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, Michael Bradley, he ain't going to score. He hasn't scored in 2. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow, that was a good strike, Michael.
Yo, somebody should cover you, you know?
Oh, me? Oh, shit.
Ridiculous. You watch him, but there's no, to me, that's like, you bench him, right? Like, I would bench him in that next, like, half or whatever in the next game. Embarrassing. It looked really, really bad.
It was trash.
And also, when Michael Bradley scores 2 goals totally wide open, just like running in the top of the box,
nobody near him.
Somebody's doing something wrong because he's not the most elusive of people.
Shouts to Minnesota.
Yes.
They won 1 road game in their entire existence.
They won their 1 and road now, game for the year.
So. And now they just won their 2nd. So shouts to them. First game of the season.
Nah, they played well.
They did. And Vancouver, who, you know, everyone was like, what's Dos Santos Vancouver going to look like? I always have high hopes for Vancouver for some strange reason. It's just one of those teams that I think is going to do well. Minnesota looked pretty good. Ozzy Alonso, baby. Kua looked good.
Yeah. It's exciting. That's why I said with the prediction I made, I think Minnesota might actually make the playoffs.
Yeah, I said that as well. I didn't say it. So, now.
Let's talk about Seattle against FC Cincinnati, new team in Major League Soccer. And they sure got
they
a start.
They looked every bit of it.
You expect that, but you didn't expect that first goal.
No.
That was...
Well, Bertone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane. That was a...
But that's also like, that goes against the run of play. Like, that wasn't planned. They're not like, obviously, we'll bang it around a little bit in the box, and then Bertone is going to come out of nowhere and shoot a laser past Stephen Fry. That's not how they planned that out. And you could see that because they didn't score again. They barely even threatened.
Yes.
Ruby Diaz also. Dude's comfortable.
Well, against Cincinnati, yeah, he was just like, he was having a good time.
I mean, Cincinnati also has like 35 defensive midfielders. Like, he looked, I mean, the way he didn't look as comfortable towards the end of last season, new, starting to figure it out. Rui Diaz, like, nah, this is cool. This is my team.
There's definitely chemistry there, especially with Jordan Morris, who scored.
Who, by the way, he looks so happy every time he scored. I mean, he just looked like a weight was lifted off his shoulders.
Sure, yeah.
He didn't play for 500 and some days.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why you.
I don't know why you could have just said like a year, year and a half. But you said
500 something days without playing.
Okay,
that's tough.
All right, I'm just not used to this very specific Alexis.
I mean, okay? I said 500 and something. That's about as elusive as I can be. I like to be vague.
The first goal was great. I don't know. Did it take a deflection? I couldn't really tell.
Yes,
it did.
The first one did. Yeah, he looked like he was trying to curl it, and it wasn't about to curl until it hit the defender's leg.
Yeah.
Second one.
Second goal.
What a great. First of all, the pass to set that up.
Yeah.
That's one of those passes where, as someone who watches soccer all the time and loves it, I'm like, why would you ever do that with the ball? It's going to hit somebody's foot. And then it just clearly goes completely across the face of the goal.
I love,
like, no one is near it. I'm like, who thinks of that?
I love those moments because you know when there's like just a great, when you know when you somebody gets a pass or you see a pass or something, you just go, good ball.
Yeah, nice.
Good ball, right? That's it. You just have that. There's something about
Madunian's like, nice. Oh, should I be doing something?
It's like, it's not even about the goal is great.
Yeah.
The goal is great, but the ball.
Yeah.
It's just good.
Like, did you see the save on Zlatan's header?
Yes.
Right? Zlatan came up and like dapped him. He was like, you stopped me from getting a goal, but damn, that was nice. That's what this was.
Exactly.
That was Rui Diaz who sent that ball across. No? I don't think it was.
I feel like it was Brad Smith, but I
got it. It was a Hispanic name. I know that. I do know that. Brad Smith. Maybe Argentinian. He's going to be anything.
The goal was set up by Victor Rodriguez. Yeah.
Right? So the beautiful pass. And it was one of those things, I think they even said to the announcers, like, when is he going to pass this ball? Like, it just like, do something with it. And you're like, oh. Yeah.
But it was,
that's why you hold on to it.
The pace of the ball was
the weight of it.
The way it rolled. You just see it and you're just like, yo, somebody's going to crush this one.
And by the way,
either it's going in the stands or.
Yeah. All Jordan Morris had to do was run towards that ball. There was nothing else.
Yeah.
It was his pace, his gait, everything was specifically made. That ball was perfectly weighted so he could knock that into the corner.
It was beautiful.
And no one could have stopped that. The keeper like bent backward. No one stopped
it. He got a fingertip on it, but
wasn't enough.
Happy for Jordan Morris because
I got a brace.
We had tweeted out, we made the joke, it was like, we think Jordan Morris may have listened to our interview with Jermaine Jones and maybe
little chip on that shoulder,
motivation / inspiration to maybe shut some people up. He was very happy, but I think he was happy more than just the goal. I have heard other things that like, some people are commenting on that particular tweet and just saying that they have heard that he is also still interested in going to Europe and things like that. But the fact that he did suffer, a setback and that crappy injury, but to see him back and to see him play well, because, you know, the Gold Cup's coming up. Maybe he'll get called up again. You know, it's not like we have an absolute, like, certain striker for the U.S. men's national team that we're just, like, all cool with.
Or wingers.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him play.
So.
As long as he's healthy, obviously.
Orlando played NYCFC. This game.
A little bit of a draw there?
A little bit. It's exactly that. 2-2. Yeah. good game. We got to see Matrita play for the first time. I thought he played very, very well.
I also thought he played very well. And, the fear of losing someone like David Villa, who's going to replace him? Matrita can't replace David Villa, but he looks like a great addition.
Yeah.
I'm still not sold on Maxi Morales playing this, like, sort of false center forward.
Yeah.
I hate whatever they're doing up front. I hate it.
We were when we were on the filibuster podcast, we had mentioned like that having Matrita. I mean, when you see Matrita and Morales next to each other, they are both just tiny. You would hope that Matrita was like at least like 4 or 5 inches taller, right?
Yeah. To
provide a little bit of comfort for NYCFC.
One of them be a little taller,
but no, they were both so little, and they're up front, and they're like, you get all the headers, you know what I mean?
Which is why I'd hope for that they would go for Ola Kamara when he was available.
Yes.
But he got a big bag.
Yeah, they couldn't afford that.
No,
they couldn't afford
not
that.
Not after getting Matrita.
So, but the game was entertaining. I mean, at the very least, they were up 2-0. NYCFC was
both
up 2-0.
Both teams got a half where they enjoyed it.
Yes.
Both sides.
But we got to see me out there. Nani, finally.
Christian Nani Polanco
finally made my debut.
Yeah.
I thought I did all okay.
You look pretty good.
Difficult playing against my childhood club. Yeah. You know how it is.
It's tough. But you know what? You held it together, man.
You know, I kept my emotions intact.
Bro, you look good in person.
But they, I thought he
played well.
He played well. Like, obviously, he's not going to play the full 90.
Yeah, he also didn't have the effect that you would expect a big name to have just yet. But I mean, what he got? 20 minutes?
Yeah,
in the game?
Yeah. But he didn't.
Him and Dom Dwyer coming in at the same time.
Dom Dwyer just came in, just being like, "Put me in."
Yeah.
All right. Who am I? Tell me where the goal is.
Dom Dwyer wakes up. He's like, "What do we need? Goals? All right, I got you. Just put me in."
But a goal from Teshua Kandeli.
Who injures himself right immediately.
Exactly. So when he scored, when he scored, we were like, well, Tesho's been on the show. So we provided that inspiration to him to score. And then he immediately gets injured. And we're like, okay, there it is. There's the universe balancing everything out.
There's that Cooligan's curse. Okay. the duality of it. Something good happens, but you know, if something gully is going to happen.
We're like a monkey paw. Right? Yeah. So a warning to the soccer girl. Props, because I don't know. I can't speak to your health going forward after you appear.
Somebody's
on the show.
Gonna win the lottery. Someone else gonna lose their apartment. That's just how it goes. There's three of y'all. One of y'all's gonna be mad, fine, but you were gonna be scared the whole time.
Oh, God.
7 days.
So, last game we should talk about? Two more games, real quick.
Actually, let's talk about Bill Hamid.
Okay.
Because he was asked, hey, how'd you feel about not being called in to the January camp? Greg Berhalter, it's an MLS guy, Bill Hamid, right? Didn't have the greatest stint in Europe, but he came back. He looks good.
And he barely got playing time.
But he kept it going. He was like, you want the real answer or you want the for real answer? Because he was like, I'm better than all of them. He legitimately said that. He's like, I'm better than all four of them. And I'm like, what about Brad Guzan? I don't even know how Brad Guzan comes up. He's like, I'm better than Brad Guzan. I'm better than everybody.
Yeah, this is
Guzan was upset about it.
Yeah, and he was asked, I didn't see his response exactly, but I think he said he was disappointed in Bill Hamid's comments.
Yeah, he was like, I was disappointed in recent comments, didn't even name him. He was like, we're a union. Ain't nobody asking about your union. Where you pay dues.
Brad, that's way too polite, man.
Yeah, Brad. But Brad is like the OG, like, we'll keep it in the locker room. Bill Hamid's like, I'm on World Star right now.
It's not a thing we're used to seeing, especially amongst players that have national team caps, to just be like,
yeah,
I'm better. They should not have more caps than me, and I am clearly better than them.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's you don't toot your own horn, maybe there's no music. So do what you do, Bill Hamid.
It's tough for goalkeepers because it's not like there's a lot of spots available. It's just one person that gets that opportunity. Right. So you sort of
These are the facts we bring, folks. One goalkeeper per team, bro.
There's a couple midfielders, a couple strikers.
Hold on a second. Thiago Motta is trying to push the goalkeeper into the midfield. Bro, let's do two goalkeepers. Who says you can't? The rules?
Have them both wearing green outfits.
Yeah. Only one of them. There's only one pair of gloves, though. You gotta quickly switch them out.
Okay, IFAB.
get these quick release gloves going.
DC United did win that game 2-0, so kind of
DC United looked
making
like a world
point, making Bill Hamid look more right, especially after the goal that Brad Guzan gave up. But that was also a great game, also in crappy weather. But speaking of crappy weather, Colorado played against Portland. Timbers.
It was really cool of them to play in a winter wonderland.
This was, but weirdly, the first like 30 minutes of the game, if you look at the photo from the first like half of the game, it looks like a fairly normal game, maybe some flurries, and then the second half is just like snow classico.
They had orange ball the whole nine.
Colorado was down a man, I'm like, all right, this game's over. This is gonna be like Atlanta Minnesota last year or 2 years ago. And but no, they figured like, hey, once there's snow involved, it could be, you know, 6-on-12 players, and it's almost even. Yeah, and they sort of
for Colorado, when it snows, it's almost like in those 80s movies or 90s movies when like one of the players has to like wrestle the bigger kid in the other school, but there's like a song that they play and it makes them have like superhuman strength that gets them going. That's snow for people from Colorado. They're like, oh, you just leveled the playing field. They're like, dude, it's you versus a truck. I'll be aight.
Well, when I was in Colorado, I went to a ski and snow sports museum, and they had this like documentary.
Yo, how boring is it in Colorado that's where you went? There's nothing else to do.
This was
weed's legal there, and you went to a museum.
I enjoy museums. I enjoy learning about history and stuff like that. And there was apparently a World War II platoon that was trained in Colorado, in Vail, they would ski. They were like ski soldiers. And so the reason I'm mentioning this is because
the hell was going on in World War II?
Yo, it was fascinating, right? I think
it isn't now when you're retelling it.
So they would like train in the mountains to like be like these. They had guns and
in
they
case
would
they had
ski.
To go like into Russia, I guess.
Well, they would go to like the Italian like Alps and stuff like that. Yeah. And they would have battles. Yeah. And they would like ski. Like,
coming up,
yo, how dope is that though?
Well, training today, we got hot chocolate near a fire near a fireplace 101.
So I'm saying like the Colorado Rapids are training in this higher altitude. They probably deal with snow all the time. They are the ski soldiers of MLS.
They're the Kenyan runners. They're up in the mountains.
Okay,
getting the lungs prepared.
I'm saying that's why they were able to come back.
They're
all right,
ridiculous.
So a bunch of great games this weekend and coming up in the following weekend. So excited that we have MLS back. But
if you want to go to a game, use our code on SeatGeek.
That's right.
Right.
Do come it. Use the promo code Cooligans. Okay. So let's wrap this up. We'll be back with Soccer Girl Probs after this quick message.
Yeah, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. We just want to bring in from word from our sponsors, Fly It Flags.
Fly It Flags. We just got some work done. Not plastic surgery.
We got, you know, we just retouched the face a little bit.
No, we go with Fly Flags. Let's not do that. Look, if you need custom prints, flags, banners, scarves, phone holders, any kind of
stickers,
any promotional product for like anything. It doesn't have to be soccer related, but if you want a big ass flag.
Yeah,
Fly It Flags is the thing that you
and
can
look,
get.
And look, they gave us some really good prices. They gave us a really good offer, really good deals. They're based out of Buffalo, New York. The website doesn't really explain where they're from. They're from Buffalo. They're a legit print center. They gave us some really dope products. Everything came in exactly as we asked. Go and get your stuff at flyitflags.com. They don't have a ton to offer. They're not like those websites that just have like a million options. They have a small select few things they do, and they do all of it really, really well. So if you're looking for some promotional items, maybe you have your own podcast, or maybe you have your own stuff you want to show, go to flyitflags.com. That's FLYITFLAGS.com. Go ahead and get yourself absolutely some amazing products. Flyitflags.com. And on Twitter is at flyitflags. Yeah, baby, we're back!
We are. Very, very excited. We got a full house.
We got a full house. We used five of us, just like Cards. Okay. Two of a kind, three of a kind. It worked out really well, actually.
I apologize on his behalf.
Yo, shouts to me for knowing Cars.
I thought you meant Cars the movie. Yeah. Cars the movie?
I thought you were referring to the TV show. That's where I said Full House. Anyway. Okay, but there's a lot of bad jokes.
You know what, though? It works in many ways. That's probably why they named the show that.
Welcome to the show. Alexis, do you want to introduce our guests?
I mean, you know, if you're driving, pull over right now and put your hands together for the one, the only. We got Instagram superstars in here, but it's not just some regular-ass superstars. They actually got skill. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the three, the only Soccer Girl Probs is here.
Thank you so much for being here, guys. So it's a lot. Alana, Shannon, and Carly.
Yes.
I know we met at in Miami, right? Were you there?
I was there the first day.
Okay. So I don't know if we met. We definitely met
Alana.
We
played against each other.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we were hanging out. That's what we finally got to meet you guys, and it was just like I always knew.
And we were like, oh, we don't hate them, you know. Like at first, at first we were like, oh, look who's here. Let me guess, trick shots.
Absolutely not. And then you're like, no, definitely not.
And you 2-footed, so great shit. And I was like, yo, I like these girls.
So when we met, and I followed you guys on Instagram. That's where I had heard about. Like for us, especially being comedians, and we've been doing this show for a little over 3 years. So we're like sort of like learning the soccer space, like who's who in the soccer world. And then we were like, yo, these girls are doing something unique as far as something comedic and something silly and not taking soccer too seriously.
Yes.
And I mean, you've seen this show, and that's exactly that. So we feel
real quick for our fans, why don't you guys say your names into the mic so they'll know whose voice is whose?
Okay, go for it.
Oh.
I'm Alana.
I feel like we're similar though. Yeah. Shannon.
Carly.
No, you guys have different octaves.
Yeah. Who's lower? Yeah. Who's lower?
I think yours is a little deeper.
Oh, yes.
Also, we met.
I was an alto. I was an alto.
Were you? I don't even know what that means.
I was deep in the alto in the choir. Yeah. So, like, all the girls were Sopranos.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, we'll talk
about that later. You know, when I saw the show
Sopranos.
You also
put the tall girls back there.
Yeah. When I saw the show Sopranos, I had no idea it was a singing thing. I was like, what a cool name. I had no idea. And then someone's like, that's a choir thing. I'm like, yo, they got a gun for R in the choir. Like, Alexis, you're not going to make it very far in life. But we met under weird circumstances. We were talking into microphones, and you ran up to me, and you were like, do you know a lot about pizza? And I'm like, who is this girl?
No, I was just, Carly didn't even know the story. So I was standing next to you, and we were talking about The Stand, the comedy place.
Yeah, the comedy club.
And then I brought up a comedian, and I was talking about, oh, I listened to his podcast. And you're like, I was on that podcast. I was doing the pizza tour, and then I fangirled because I listened to that podcast 5 times, and then I did the pizza tour. Me and my brother, like, did every place you did on it.
That's hilarious.
It was
amazing.
So weird.
And then, yeah, then you, like, so FaceTimed with your brother, and, like, look who this is. And he's like,
it's my brother.
That's not a professional soccer player. Like, is he retired? Yeah, that guy gave up a while ago.
So, yeah, we heard, like, then I recognized your voice.
Okay, but, yeah, because I remember it was, like, this weird circumstance. I was like,
and
yeah,
that was Ari Shaffir's podcast.
Ari Shaffir,
who I saw
Skeptic
yesterday
Tank.
In the street, and I was going to tell him that I was doing your podcast today.
Oh, nice.
Look at this.
I was with him this weekend at a wedding.
She kept it on the DL. This time I didn't freak out.
Did he have a better cast? Because at the wedding this weekend, he was like bandaged. That was real weird. It looked like he did it himself in an alleyway. I was like, dude, you got money. Come on.
He looked like he was coming from an alleyway.
That's him. That's just his aesthetic, you know? Shouts to Ari Shaffir.
Thank you. You guys brought us pizza. Yes. But, I mean, that is...
First guest to bring us food. It's about damn time.
Not the first guest to bring us food. We had Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. But he interrupted the show. He wasn't a guest on the show.
He wasn't a guest on the show.
He brought empanadas.
He was. Okay.
Feel free to interrupt the show with food whenever you want.
We're all
literally
here for that.
Break the door down. Like, we got food for you.
Yeah. Tim's cool. As long as we share with him, he'll let you in.
So you guys, how long, let people know about Soccer Girl Probs and how it came to be. And I sort of know a little bit, but you guys can kind of express
bring
that.
Bring it home, Carl.
They always look at me to tell the story.
Yeah.
So we went to Fairfield University, and that's where we played soccer. And it was 2011. It was literally, 7 years ago, which is so crazy.
Eight years ago.
This was when Twitter was first getting big, too.
Matt, okay. Not a strong point here. You're like, that's like 7, maybe 15 years ago.
I got a lot of concussions in school.
A lot of headers.
I didn't get any concussions. This girl got seven concussions.
Had a bunch.
Whoa. Had a handful.
Really?
Yeah.
We could do a whole discussion.
We're
going
to get to that because you guys have a long injury history.
Yes. So that's actually where it all started during preseason, where we were just kind of complaining with our team in the lunchroom, like, oh, we have ice bags on our legs, like tan lines, all this crazy stuff. And so we started tweeting.
That's when we said hashtag, right?
Yeah, we started tweeting and doing hashtag soccer girl probs. Mm-hmm. And our teammates were laughing at it, and everyone was like laughing at each other. So we were like, why don't we just make one handle so that we can all tweet on it and everyone can relate to it. So we made the handle, and before we knew it, it kind of spread like wildfire in the soccer community. Our teammates told their past teammates, and it kind of, like, we told our families. And we had hundreds of followers in I don't know how many weeks. And then it started tripling. And before we knew it, we had 100,000 followers or whatever.
We kept being like, all right, well, if we hit 1,000 followers, we're going to like go streaking down the Library Hill at our campus. Like, because like whoever hits 1,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And we hit them. We're like, damn, we're like 10,000.
Oh, no.
We still haven't done it.
We got to streak. We got to streak 10 times? It seems like a lot.
We're like, all right, fine. We get like 7 million.
Up to the numbers, Chris.
Yeah. So we grew such an incredible community of soccer players. And it was kind of crazy because everyone was relating to one another. And it was something that was drawing a certain type of person to follow us. And people were like, why don't you guys make a video? So at the time, YouTube was also getting big with like shit boyfriend say, shit girlfriend say. So we were like, why don't we do shit soccer girl say? And so we took an iPad and ran around our campus with our teammates and made
Whoa, videos. You had an iPad in 2011?
Yeah, it was wild. Really
cool. You had an iPad 25 years ago?
So we literally made the video and we put it out and we hit 1 million hits in less than 24 hours.
Incredible.
It was unbelievable. It blew up. Our Twitter account blew up from that. And then
all our friends we haven't talked to since middle school. Hang out again.
A lot of the yo you up. Yeah. You get a lot of those texts.
I've been up 10 years. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Damn, Ma, I ain't seen you in a minute. You look good in that video, though.
Seriously, literally everyone and their mothers were calling us. Yeah, they were like, we know you. Like, what did you do? How did you do this? So it was funny. It just went viral. And so people started saying, we kept listening to our fans. They were like, why don't you guys make t-shirts? So we were like, okay, like, let's make t-shirts. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you guys want.
You write the business model. Yeah.
Literally.
You tell us.
100%. Yeah.
So, Alana, I think you should take over from here.
All right, so, like, we fly by the seat of our pants, especially the beginning of this, because now we're three athletes that are, like, trying to kind of figure out a side business at the same time. So NCAA rules were, like, keeping us from doing that. We were had our names private, the team we played for private, like no one could know. We didn't want our coaches to know. Yeah, it was wild. But then when I graduated, I was like, all right, I'm not bound by the death rules of NCAA. I was like, so let's try to sell a t-shirt now that I'm not playing. So we were like, all right, yeah, well, I made this like shoddy website. I actually got a woman to help me out and we made like...
Wasn't it GoDaddy?
It was just the sketchiest website ever. I don't know.
I'm like there. So into this part of the story. Like, shoddy website?
I would never put my credit card into it. But so I was like, all right, well,
all the credit card information is like requested. It's like in Chinese, Mandarin. I'm like, ooh.
I'm like, all right, we'll get like 100 shirts made. And like, I'm like, guys, we're going to make it live tonight. We make the website live. It like crashes. It sells out within a very, very short amount of time, like minutes wise. Yeah. And I'm like, holy moly, I'm like, all these people now, they ordered, we didn't stop the website when we ran out of shirts. So it like people ordered way more shirts than we had. I was like, holy shit. Like, all right. So we had like had to rush order all these t-shirts.
I just pictured like your mom like spraying over us.
I enslaved like
make
every
more shirts,
Mom. Sharpies. Yeah.
Soccer girl prop send.
I literally enslaved every member of my family and anyone on like a 5-mile radius of me to help like fold t-shirts and send them out. And it was just crazy. That's when we realized that there really was some sort of like connection that we had with who was following us. The fact that they would feel invested enough to want to like wear I can't have soccer on it or something like that.
Yeah, I think that like that feeling of creating something that like resonates as comics. It's like when we write a joke that just hits and everybody loves it. Like it's just a great feeling. But this tapping into this feeling of like acknowledging female soccer players in a different way, in a way that's not just like, hey, it's a girl playing soccer, you know, and it's not just some rare thing. It's just like, oh, this is what we all share. And it feels that like, feeling must have been just incredible.
It feels like as a female athlete sometimes, especially in soccer, you get like four options, right? You could be the, oh my God, she's incredible. She's almost as good as a guy. Yeah. And then you've got the, wow, who let them do that? Or they're like, well, she's hot. Let her play soccer so we could watch her. And then there's, you know, like you don't get the option of being like, yo, we have our own minds sometimes. Like we're funny as hell. We could be silly. It's like you guys have broken. You broken a mold that was already broken, and most people didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Guys are like, you guys have opened the door for other people to see like this community that didn't exist or that existed that no one knew. Like when we were like, does anybody even care about soccer and comedy together? Or we're gonna talk about American soccer because not enough people are doing that. The undercurrent to that is whenever we bring up something that's NWSL or a women's national team player, we get this onslaught of like people that have sort of attracted itself to it. Or that have sent us messages because you guys are doing that where you're shining a light on the female soccer player, which apparently not enough people are doing. Cause when we do it, we get all these positive messages. We're like, whoa.
Yeah, like, it's an untapped market and it's such a big market.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
The best part though, is that we were just being ourselves the entire time.
Yeah.
Like like you said before, like we didn't have a business model because we literally didn't know we had a business until it happened.
Yeah.
We don't curse now in it, like we'll bleep it because we have a lot of young fans. But in the beginning, we were just dropping F bombs, left our first video.
Yeah.
I was in my underwear putting jeans on. Yeah. And my like priest professor saw it. Yeah. It was so awkward.
Was like,
I played it in front of the class.
And
I was like, oh my God. Yeah. It's the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Oh my
gosh. Deep down inside, you were like, the legs hitting the right one. I'm doing squats. Can y'all notice?
Can everybody tell? Yeah.
I mean, it's all right though, right? You a priest, you can't. But the rest of y'all.
Yeah, we were super real in the beginning on Twitter. Like, we also were anonymous. No one knew, not even the school knew.
Yeah, yeah.
We were doing this until they finally caught on. And I think now we know that, like, we want to be good role models to these girls. We have such a huge following. We want to use our platform for a good thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To help people understand they're not not alone in their problems.
Us too, right? Yeah. We want to.
We're inspiring young girls everywhere. Yeah. And we really want to use
the gully, the extra gully. Extra okay. Gully.
But what I do enjoy is that you guys always kind of try to find humorous things to share, and it's like as comics, that's like literally the foundation of what we're doing. So like for you, what are the things that that necessarily, or even like sort of stand out from a female soccer player perspective that you're like, oh, I want to share this, or I want to, like, I know it's a fairly broad question, mm-hmm. But what's the work in like trying to find things that are humorous or creating like humorous content? Like, what is the challenge for you guys?
I don't think it is a challenge.
I was gonna say it's like literally just a means of survival, and that's just when we were in preseason, it was like. It's hell. Like, it's three times a day you do nothing but sleep and play soccer and then eat in between and then sleep some more.
Yeah.
So you got to stay sane somewhere. And the way that we found ourselves to stay sane to get through was to literally just laugh at the shit that was happening to us. Because, like, they were just, like, I'm trying to, like, I fell asleep with ice bags on my leg one time. And I woke up and I had them on for so long. I slept the whole night through them that the skin on my leg turned black. I had to go to my trainer, pull my pants down. I was like, did I get myself frostbite? I was like, I literally, like, my skin is black.
Like, ma'am, this is a Chick-fil-A. I am not your trainer. Put your pants back on.
But, like, stuff like that, you have to stop for a second and be like, no one else would understand this or laugh about it unless you were in the same shoes as us and playing soccer as a female athlete. So it's just,
it's interesting because we were talking to Allie Krieger, who's our absolute hero.
Yeah, she's
the funniest person we've ever had on this podcast, bar none.
She's incredible. And she had mentioned that a big struggle for professional female soccer players in, like, I had asked her a similar question, like, oh, what's sort of humorous in the women's soccer world? And she said that women players sometimes feel pressure to not sort of express themselves in that way because they don't want to hurt their opportunity for either sponsorships or make the team look bad.
Which is also a big part of how you make money as an NWSL player. Yeah. You're either one of the big ones.
Look at Cindy LaRue. Yeah. She is humorous and she has all these amazing brands like partnering with her because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really crazy.
So, but there must be, is she an outlier, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Totally.
But she's made herself an outlier.
Yeah. I think maybe the women, because they're literally on a world stage, like they probably feel pressure to look a certain way and be in a certain way. And that goes for literally women in general, I feel like, you know, everyone feels pressure, but it's the people that I guess.
Yeah, like Sydney plays to her strengths. She's hilarious, and like it works for her. Yeah. I think it just
she also claps back for Dom.
Yeah. Oh my god! It's hilarious.
It's the best.
I think though that's the realness is so amazing, and it's so key because that's literally why I think we went viral, and we still do so well is because we're just being relatable. People sometimes are too uptight about the way they look or what they sound like. Like you need to be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. It's interesting, just especially just hearing the. Your injury histories, right? You all sort of dealt with that stuff. And then I think about it from the perspective of, as a male college athlete, right? And the risk of injury, right? And we always talk about like, you were trying to have this business, right? And, or you've landed on this business and while you were in school and you couldn't really promote it, right? Mm-hmm. But then the struggle of like you are offering the school, like your services, you're playing, and then you have this opportunity to make money, but you can't. And then I think that from a male perspective, and that's like, that's mostly what's in the news. But from a female perspective, how the risk of injury and then after college, like it's incredible. Like the risk is insane. And just even more to like not be able to pay players. So it's just like male athletes have to deal with it, right? Where they have this potential to make all this money. And the female players also have to deal with it. And they, if they have the potential to make all this money or make even a little bit. I'm hearing it makes me upset at college sports.
There's a comic we were working with once and we did a commercial for the ICS, right? What are the ICC, the championship where like six Juventus players show up, but a lot more jerseys. we were talking to her and she was like doing all these keepy uppies and stuff. I'm like, damn, you're really good at soccer. And she's like, yeah, I played professionally. I was like, oh, dope.
where? And she's like, in Mexico. I'm like, why'd you stop? She's like, I got paid $50 a week and live with a family I didn't know. Yes. And I was like, what? I'm like, that's legal, you know? And we were shocked because I was like, why would you become a comic? Comics don't make any money. And she's like, it's the same thing. She's like, at least now I don't have to enter, you know, train.
So if Soccer Girl Props didn't happen, what would you guys be doing? Would you have been pushing to try to play professionally or what?
More shoddy websites?
We actually do joke that we want to go to like an open tryout. We should like go try out now.
And
have someone and make like
GoPros on us, doing all the fitness tests, and I was just so far behind. Yeah. I mean, like when we graduated, we probably could have like hung with them, but those days are over now.
I think we definitely could have.
But I mean, what would you guys have? Well, you were gonna go to med school, right?
Yeah, I know. I was gonna go to med school. That was my.
Okay.
She was a biology
major. Even
so you've explained
that.
Your family, I'm not going to med school. I've got this t-shirt.
I made a YouTube video.
No. We're going to get like 8 iPads. We're going pro.
We're
going
to save a lot of money on schooling. Yeah. No, but I mean, we're all like, all of us have a passion to be in the athletic world. So we all like the side hustle. We all side hustle. Like I'm strength and conditioning coach. She trains. She does health and coaching and all that stuff. So we're really involved in all aspects of the game, even if we're not in the soccer world, we'll never be able to leave it fully. So,
oh sure, okay.
What are some of the things that have not hit? Some of the things that you wish you could have done, or something that you put out and the fans were like, "We don't want to see this from you," because that happens to us as comics all the time. Like we'll make a joke and someone's like, "We don't see you that way." And you're like, "Well, I mean, perception is reality." Sometimes.
I mean, Alexis makes a joke on our Twitter account, and I'm like, "Yo, dude, what? That's not us."
Oh yeah, no,
you're not speaking for both of us.
By the fans saying we don't like to hear you. It's Christian going, "Don't do that."
That is a good.
I mean, like some. Well, we'll find some things just absolutely hilarious that definitely other people don't find. Like we dress up as referees in our videos. Mm-hmm. We'll go on tangents when we film because we never have a script, so we're always freeballing whatever we're gonna say, and we will like crack ourselves up. Like we have to put this out. It's gonna be so funny. We'll watch it 1,000 times and laugh our asses off about it. And sometimes maybe people just don't find it as funny as we did.
Or the video that we think is the funniest. Yes, and no one cares about.
That's not what hits. Yeah.
That does happen.
I have a joke where the punchline. I'm like, this is gonna crush. I worked on it. I set it up, like I did it 2 or 3 times and it works.
Like,
and
I get there
and somebody laughs at the end of the setup and I'm like, well, that's not the goddamn punchline. And then I wait for the laughter and I land the punchline. I'm like, and no one laughs. I'm like, well, what's wrong with all of you?
You can't practice in front of your mom.
Yeah, I know, right? It's real sad. No, my mother still tells people I'm looking for work. 10 years as a comic, baby. Never seen me once perform. All right. Somebody hit a button. Somebody hit a hot button.
It's all good.
Oh, you guys have supportive parents? How cool.
I did want to ask you guys about a story that came out recently. There was a girl, Olivia Moultrie. I don't know how to say her name, but she's in that
Olivia Moneybags.
Moneybags.
There you go.
Yeah, she don't care about the NCAA rules right now.
So she is 13 years old. She had agreed to a scholarship for UNC. But she is now in that new Serena Nike ad, right? Yes. So clearly she is not trying to playing school anymore. But 13 years old, signed a pro deal. She has a deal with a sports agency and has a deal with Nike. So obviously she's getting paid.
A six-figure deal with Nike.
So a 13-year-old girl. So this is kind of unprecedented. We're not used to seeing something like this. A lot of people were kind of surprised by this and also had a lot of opinions about we all might have different opinions about this, but comments were like about how her body hasn't developed and she's gonna change, like why make that commitment? But apparently she is that good already, and I guess enough of a personality that they feel like there is a future. What do you think of this girl and this story?
I mean, at 13 years old, I was still like, Mom, I forgot my lunch in the backseat of your car. So, like, the fact that she has it together this much to be taken that seriously and be this progressed in her career at the age of 13 is props to her. That's absolutely incredible. It makes me a little nervous.
But why?
Because she's 13, so, right? She's 13. When her peak of her career is probably going to be 18 and older, right?
Yeah.
And when you're really fully developed and at your best athletic potential. So that's at 5-year gap. That's so much stuff could happen.
Sure.
Life stuff, passion change.
Acne.
acne. Oh. You never know. Like,
keep happening. Notice the hat. No, I just think that, I mean, they're setting her up for success, though. Like, she has 5 years to just, like, go all out and make this her career.
But also, like, if I was playing against a 13-year-old and I was, like, 20, I'd want to slam that girl so hard. It's not even funny.
You slam a 13-year-old?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I wouldn't even touch that 13-year-old.
Oh. Are you kidding me? I would, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Lower that shoulder down. Yeah. You know, knock it down.
She's got a soccer dad on the sideline.
Oh, of course. Scream. Who's probably your age, you know, because she's only 13.
I'm her
taking that girl out. Taking that girl out.
That's another thing, though. Injury? If you know what I'm saying,
like, yeah,
you
yes.
just
yeah,
don't that, know what's going to happen. People can come back from an ACL injury and be not the player they were. So it just scares me too. Yeah. I totally see both sides.
I mean, props. How could you say no? Yeah. I totally get it.
And she's a soccer girl props fan, so we love her. Hey, Olivia.
Okay. Hey, if you're listening, Olivia, what's up?
Now she's a Cooligans fan.
Yeah, bring us pizza, Olivia. What you doing? You got money. Yeah.
But she is literally changing the game. There is something to be said about a 13-year-old being signed. First of all, 11-year-old being signed to UNC.
Yeah.
And getting a scholarship.
That is wild.
That is just absurd. But I mean, she's changing the history of women's soccer.
It's great because nobody really bats an eye when, Alfonso Davies at 16 getting his first start and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not, it's like, well, if we, look, your shirt says equality. If you want equality, this is, I think the double standard is clearly, it's like because she's a girl and because girls develop differently and things like that.
And I was going to say also because it's like the U.S., you always hear about like boys getting signed overseas, like when they're like 11, 12, 13. And I just think that that's how it works there differently than here because there's so many different levels of the U21 national team, the this, the that. There's so many little distinctions. So it's crazy to me to sign them so young. But we hear it. You're right. We hear it with men all the time.
But people go like, oh, what about college? Bro, what do you go to college for? Yeah. To make money and become a professional. She did it at 13. She's Doogie Howser. She's good. She fails in 5 years. She could go to college. That's the age of when she could go to college.
She'd be good.
She already has enough money to just live for the rest of
But maybe there's, like, that's something to, like, think about. Like, even you said you were like, oh, you had concerns, right? You were just, like, worried. And maybe there is the way we treat young girls.
Yeah, because you know what? I wouldn't have that same concern with hearing a 12-year-old boy sign or a 14-year-old boy.
We all sort of have this, like, maternal and paternal instinct with young girls. We're just like, we don't want them to get hurt. But if my daughter can make six figures from Nike, I'm like, hey, you know what? You're going to risk some limbs out there for the family.
Yeah. As I'm Googling mink coats. Yeah. Go ahead, girl.
That would be your go-to, a mink coat.
Oh, a pink mink coat. Your boy's going Cameron. Oh, I'm going to pull up in a pink Range Rover.
Mommy and daddy are proud, baby.
Hurry up. Yeah, like, how good is the contract they're offering? Like, should we get a sunroof is what I'm asking.
But how does that work? Can she access the money?
It's probably in a trust till she's 18. But
if she was my kid, that trust word would be very loose.
It's a joint trust.
Very loosely defined. I can't believe you only made $100,000. It's supposed to be $3 million. I know what we're talking about. So I'm going to go to my yacht real quick.
But if she is the LeBron, let's say, of women's
soccer. The fear is that she's the Freddie Adu. It's too young, blah, blah, blah. But you won't know that until it happens.
We can't. Can we operate on fear?
No.
Is that how we're going to live our lives?
Then you know what? Then the toxic masculine terrorists have won. We have fear.
But if that's the potential of, like, she could be the LeBron of women's soccer, what does that look like for women's soccer? I mean, like, we have soccer stars. We have the Alex Morgans who are not only great at the sport, but are also, you know, they also in magazines and in some, they're selling sort of their looks as well. We can, obviously, that's not going to happen to the damn 13-year-old, right? Yeah. So, but like, if we're basing it on,
you know, Hollywood, okay? Let's hope
not. She's in that Nike commercial.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Let's hope not.
But what would that sort of mean or look like if she can be developed like the way LeBron was and sort of tailored to be this absolute megastar? What can that do for women's soccer?
I think it's just opening up a different perspective because you don't see that often. You do not see players followed for that long of a period of time or that much effort put into the, especially young female players at that age. So for some consistency and investment in a young player like that, it would be awesome to see her actually like make it all the way up and be
successful. Open the door for other people.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It is kind of nice though, like when we were younger, there's no way in hell we would ever make that amount of money playing soccer. And now you have this girl who's doing this. So I feel like it might actually empower other young female athletes.
Yeah, yeah. And their parents.
And, yeah. and their parents. We're going to have a lot of crazy soccer parents now. Yeah. But,
definitely. That's so true.
Yeah, like they're going to probably.
Like we don't already?
Down. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Hit that Olivia money. Oh my God. Practice till the sun goes. Actually, we got floodlights. We're good. We're good. Mom and daddy going to bed.
I know some girl that had her dad film every single game and practice and make her watch it. Yeah. Like, it's there are some crazy people out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never lost.
She's part of the big baller brand. Big baller brand.
Sadly, no.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us on the show. This has been very, very enlightening, but also just super fun. You guys are great.
Yeah, and everyone, I'm sure, knows, but where can they find you? Where can they follow you? And if you also, if you want to plug your individual Instagrams and whatnot.
So you can follow us at Soccer Girl Probs. There's no I in girl. So it's just GRL. And we're on that for every single handle that we have. And then our YouTube channel is Soccer Girl Probs Vids.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right.
Is that everything?
Yeah. A lot of handles already taken, clearly. Yeah. But, yeah.
But please follow them. They do amazing work. And you guys have built in legitimately an empire of problems that soccer girls have.
You figured it all out. That was really good of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So you guys are awesome. We love how you're bringing the humor to the game. Like, that's what we're trying to do.
We have that in common.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Soccer boy props.
Funny boy props.
So
there's no I am boy.
So we usually wrap the show the same way. We yell Cooligans. It all makes sense.
You'll know exactly when to do it.
So we'll just yell it to that camera.
But we all say our names.
I'll say it for Alana, for Shannon, for Carly. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!